Hey, this is Baccarat of Landerville, and you're listening to A Casual Stroll to Mordor.
Hey there, this is Hot Toddy of Pouncing Pony on Landerville, and you are listening to A Casual Stroll to Mordor.
Hi, this is Defiler Dan of Cohesion on Vilya, and you're listening to A Casual Stroll to Mordor.
You are listening to A Casual Stroll to Mordor, a hardcore look at Lotro from a casual point of view. A Casual Stroll to Mordor is brought to you by Typefrag.com. Use the code 2MORDOR on checkout and get 25% off your first month. We're also brought to you by Doghouse Systems. Use the code 2MORDOR on checkout and get a $25 gift certificate to Jinx.com. And today we have a creep roundtable courtesy of Through the Palantir. Ivan was kind enough to allow us to re-air these on our show. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the creep side of things.
All right. Today we are doing our first Monster Play Roundtable, and we have Defilers up on for today. So we're going to go ahead and start this entire thing off by introducing our guests, of which there are three. Now, we were going to have a fourth guest here who was not going to be one of the Defilers, but unfortunately Merrick of Casual Stroll to Mordor is doing a Captain Roundtable right now, so he couldn't make it. This is probably still going to show up on Casual Stroll to Mordor at some point, and he's probably going to be here for all the other roundtables as I get around to doing those. Anyway, we'll go ahead and introduce these people first. So first up is Baccarat.
Okay. I am Baccarat. I am a rank 8 defiler on Landerville. I'm in a kinship called Knaves of the White Lady, white spelled like the ghost. We had a time when we had like, you know, 8 or 9 of us who would play, but then when the expansion came out, the level 75 cap being raised, they're all back on Freep side playing in Knights of the White Lady, which is spelled W-H-I-T-E,
I think you just cut out there. Okay, Skype's saying there's a problem with the call. They're trying to get it back online, so just lost Baccarat.
Okay.
So we'll have to have him pick up from White Lady. That was where he was at. Let's see, where were we? Yes, Lotro Fanatic, you were introducing yourself.
Yes, hi, I'm Lotro Fanatic, and I am known as Defiler Dan on Vilya and Rittermark. I'm rank 8 on Vilya and rank 7 on Rittermark. I'm about 15k away from rank 9, so I'm closing in quickly on rank 9. And I've been playing the Defiler since he came out back in, what was it, book 13, one of the two. And Dan is what I'm known on Vilya, and that's pretty much the short version of Defiler Dan, of course.
All right, so are you part of a tribe or any kinships?
Yes, I'm. My tribe on Vilya is Cohesion. And unfortunately, we dwindled a little bit because of Star Wars, but we're slowly gaining our numbers back, and hopefully we'll be back in force as a tribe out there.
All right. Okay, and so now for our last one, Hot Toddy.
Hi, my name is Hot Toddy. I am a Defiler, rank 9. I play on Landerville server. I'm an officer in Pouncing Pony. I just started playing out here with Rise of Isengard and have moved up pretty quick and have done my best to try and build up that tribe. I guess they fell behind a little bit. A lot of people became inactive, so I've done my best to get us moving right along.
Yeah, Pawnee has been around since basically the beginning of the game on Landreval, so they're one of the oldest tribes out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, makes sense that they got a lot of inactive people.
Yeah, they do. And they used to be a warg tribe, correct?
Yeah, they did start out as a warg-only tribe, and then mm-hmm. they expanded. All right. And then, well, everyone knows me. I'm Ivan, but I have no defiler because I deleted the one that I had a long time ago. And that's that. So you'll see what I know about defilers. Personally, I go ahead and I do analyze most classes that I'm working with and against just because it helps out with leading raids. So we'll see how good my memory is for this entire thing as we get onto this. Alright, so first step. In your own words, I want each of you to define the defiler class. What does it do? What's its role on the battlefield? And we'll go ahead and go in the same order we've gone in, so Baccarat, and then Fnatic, and then Hot Toddy. So, Baccarat, you're first.
It's just basically the healer class. You know, you have three different single target heals, and then a big group heal, and then in certain situations, people ask you to throw Blight down on the ground, and just sort of rotating that as needed. And then if there's none of the, you don't need any of that, then you know there's a few ranged attacks. It's also nice to have that the fear where you thump your staff down on the ground and you fear three very nearby targets. It's extremely short range, but it's good for helping to escape.
Okay. Fnatic, anything to add?
Yeah, I agree with all that. I'd say big. I picture the defiler as half healing and half debuffs. I think as you get up in rank, some of the debuffs, although they could be a little more effective if Turbine would decide to do so. But I think some of the debuffs in terms of the fears as well as reducing some of the will and might in terms of the dropping
curses,
those off
right?
The creeps. Yeah, some of the curses that we've got, I think, are doing well. As long as you've got the time to throw that, and if you're not healing your fellow members, then I think you've got the time to throw those. And of course, as Baccarat said, Blight is always a fun one. I think, but the combined effect of the -75% healing as well as the acid effects, if they move out of the blight, is a double doozy for them. So,
alrighty, okay, and Hot Toddy.
Yes, blight kiting is wonderful. I go with what all of the guys said. The fear has saved my life many times, especially since we're in the back and we always seem to get a guard or a champ that's pounding on us. You fear them, and they will run. And the debuffs are great. I think that really it helps the whole killing process on the bosses, especially. You can see them stack up underneath. But I like the defiler healing. I think it works really well. I wish inductions were a little shorter, but it's a good class.
Yep. Yeah, I would agree with that as well. Personally, I would say that primary role is healing by far, and then debuffing would be secondary with a tertiary damage roll, because the damage output on a defiler is mediocre at best.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the defiler is. Let's talk a little bit about some of the class traits and the racial traits that are available to the defiler. What are the traits that you would consider indispensable to a defiler? Every defiler needs to have these traits.
Improve blight. You need to have the improved blight. I don't know. That's a tough one because everybody's different. It depends on what you do. I don't 1v1. So I'm mostly traded for healing.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I don't have a lot of damage skills.
I think the physical mastery ones actually up your healing, right?
Yes, I do have two masteries slotted.
So I'm slotted with 4 masteries, and then I really like to have, I mean, I like to have a lot of health, so, you know, you could just because they always go for you first when you're the healer. So I think I have, I think, power for health, trading power for health, and trading damage for health, and then 4 masteries. That's okay. What I have in my...
Well, I've tried a couple of different things. Maggot was the one who helped me set up my trait line, and he said that if you trait for damage, that is your part of your skills, and that you will heal better. So I've always traded
really?
That way.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, I'll have to take a look at that. So like that when you get by trading away damage, I've traded away healing too. Is that
yes?
That's been his theory.
It does work that way. With the War Leader, it's the same way. If you lose damage by corruption and getting health and such, you do trade away some of your healing potential. So I always have to keep that in mind with my builds, which is why I always include a couple of damage-boosting traits, just because I like having extra healing available.
See, and I don't have the... I see defilers out there that are a lot less lower in level than I am rank, and have more morale than I do. I think my base morale is like maybe high 11s or 12,000. But I've seen like Ugly, he's got 16,000 fully buffed, but I don't know where he gets it unless he's, you know, unless he's traded for morale and no damage.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. Although he might have 2 more damage trades slotted in at the end just to try to balance it out a little bit. Let's see, I don't think I heard Baccarat in there. Did you have anything to say about the traits?
Yeah, I was saying about, you know, having 4 masteries. And then I didn't know about the damage, actual damage being healing too. So I'm going to have to go change that right after we get off of here. Let's see, as far as... And liking to have a lot of health. I can't remember a lot of the other traits. I like defenses too. So like, you know, the orc, the one I just equipped today was, I think they changed it. It used to be like defense against Balerion damage, but now it's tactical defense and +2 stealth detection. And so I slotted that one. I'd been trying, the 2 different orc special skills. I tried like Blood of Fire, and you know that's okay. And then I played for a few days with the one Dying Rage, and Dying Rage was just totally useless for me because by the time you get down far enough to use it, I would try and hit it right away, and I'd still die right away. You don't last another second to do anything. So Dying Rage is completely useless, or at least it seemed to be such for me. So I replaced
I agree.
Yeah.
So there aren't a lot of good orc racial traits for defilers.
Yeah.
I'd say that the racial trait that for me is most valuable or most indispensable is Blood of Fire, simply because it allows you to, you know, it's so minimal damage. Obviously, you're not going to take a freak down with it, but it actually, if you get hit with something, you know, you can almost lay claim to just a little bit of infamy if they get taken out. So for me, Blood of Fire is just a tiny little bit of damage. You know, it allows you to grab a bit of the infamy that goes out if someone gets taken down. So for me, that's my favorite racial trait out of all of them.
You have to be careful with that. A lot of people don't know. If you have Blood of Fire on and you have a warg that's dropped pulling and you're running up to a boss, and if you have Blood of Fire, you can get aggro.
Yeah, that's the big danger, and I've definitely learned to turn that off if we go in for do a pull like that. So, it's a blessing and a curse, so to speak.
Yeah, I hear that. And for anyone who does not know who's listening to this, Blood of Fire is a damage reflect that reflects 45 fire damage at whatever hits you every time it hits you. The other one that you mentioned, which was the stealth detect and the tactical, that one was Enemy Against the Deep, if I remember correctly, and I think it used to be Ancient Dwarf, not Beleriand. How have you found that particular trait to work out for you?
It's I'm using it just because there was nothing. I didn't see anything better. I didn't really like Blood of Fire. It's just kind of passive skills. You know, maybe we're not talking about the same one. Is it the one with +2 stealth detection?
Yeah,
right. Warrior against the Deep.
Yeah, and so now it's actually tactical defense, right? It's tactical defense and stealth. Stealth detection, rather. So it's hard to tell what it's doing because it's just a passive trait, but I use it.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand that. What about the Tireless Warrior regeneration? Do you, any of you guys slot that one in?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Okay. As for class traits, I'm just curious if there's any of the class traits that you would never consider going over without. Because I know that with war leaders, there's harsh language is a +25% outgoing healing, and basically you're insane if you go anywhere without that. And it's every single war leader that's ever out there, as soon as they get that, it goes into the trait slot, and it never leaves. Is there anything like that for defilers? Isn't there one that decreases healing threat?
Yep.
There's one that's +10% healing, right? That's
yeah.
Well, yeah. Fungal
so
spore.
Obviously that one.
Yeah. I have tried to unslot different ones to, you know, fit in some new ones, but I would always use the enhanced spell sacrifice. It reduces your res time by 50% and the power cost.
Oh, right. We forgot to mention reses when we were talking about the orcs' primary or the defiler's mm-hmm. primary thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's... Yeah. Out of combat reses, you know, keeping the having that, you know, with only a 30-second cooldown instead of a minute cooldown is definitely important because it's possible to get out of combat if you just hang back for a little. I mean, if you don't have NPCs around and you just hang back for a little bit, you know, and just you know only heal yourself or whatever, you'll drop out of combat in 10 seconds or so, and then you can get off a res.
The enhanced slime is the +10% outgoing healing and the -10% healing threat. I would always have that slotted outside of lugs. For some reason, the NPCs between lugs and grams are horrible, and you do get a lot of healing aggro, especially there. I'm not sure why.
Yep. Yeah, healing aggro is something that's really been on the rise ever since Isengard rose, and you know, I've been noticing a lot more problems with that with my war leader as well. But war leader is a tank, so he can handle it for the most part.
What about I wanted to ask the other defilers, Blessings of Darkness. I have such mixed feelings about that one. Do you guys use it?
Love it, absolutely love it.
I didn't buy that one, so.
Okay, so my problem with that is but that is a single target heal. Well, it's like the Runekeeper's one where you're taking some of the damage for them. What about the rest of the people in your group that need heals? You don't feel that it takes time or healing away from everybody else?
Well, yeah, absolutely. In that kind of situation, if the whole group, the whole raid is under attack, it's definitely a luxury to single out a single target like that. But Blessing of Darkness, as it, you know, it's what, you know, we call it is the defiler bubble on Vilya. It's first of all, it's fragile as a bubble, let's say that. You know, you can interrupt it with just a stun or a mez or whatever, and it turns it off. And the slightest movement or jumping from the defiler will turn it off as well. So it's definitely a very tentative skill, but I've got it slotted because it comes in very much handy for that last second save. If the creep is down to, you know, under 1,000 K and the next hit from somebody is going to take it out. If I can afford the luxury of saving somebody or protecting them, then I'll go ahead and throw it. The other problem is that it's got such a short range, but I'll give you an example. Just last night, I was able to throw it on a reaver, and unfortunately for the freeps, we were fighting fairly new freeps in the moors, and none of them had ever seen it or had gone up against it, because none of them were attacking me. They kept going up against the reaver, and I had the chance to throw my heel over time, and along with the automatic heal from the Blessing of Darkness, as well as that heal over time, I was able to absorb all of his damage, and he was able to survive enough to take all four of them out with help from the other creeps. So, to me, it's just a great last second save, and to me, it's worth that slot in the class.
What have you unslotted to put that on? To put that in there?
Oh geez, it's when we were able to buy it in the Ultra store, I can't remember what I unslotted. I think my armor. I unslotted my armor for that.
Oh, okay.
I would agree with everything else you guys are saying, that it's the enhanced res, the enhanced slime, the enhanced blight, and
fungal spores.
The fungal spores. The other two that might be a little more, interchangeable depending upon how you look at it is I've got Fast Lob and the Health Boost.
Yeah, I do too. So you're saying you unslotted your armor. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you guys both have Fast Lob traded?
Mm-hmm. I do. But I'm thinking that I may unslot that to slot Blessings of Darkness, because I don't want to give up my armor boost. I'm already squishy as it is.
Yeah, I have the armor too. I'm wondering what I'm missing then. What extra I have, because I don't have Fast Lob traded. So
I unslotted the enhanced Efflorescence.
Because
all that does is it increases the range and reduces the power cost. I don't care. You're going to stand next to me anyway. You use it as a buff usually before you go into battle anyway. It's not because it stays so long. So it's not like something that you're going to put on in the middle of a fight. So I unslotted that.
Well, I believe it's like 10 meters without it being traded, and then 20, it's actually got quite a big range for, I mean, it's not quite as good. I think we can heal our other heals from 30 away, but that's but having a group heal that's good for 20 meters away, if you have that traded, is comes in useful if everyone in the group needs heals. So I'm probably going to keep that one and not do Fast Lob, but I think if I were the type to retrade a lot, and I was, going solo, I do actually solo a lot, so I probably, just to optimize, I would do Fast Lob when I'm soloing, because, it's kind of a lot of a wind-up for our attacks.
What about the flies? Do you guys have the Plague of Flies enhanced one slotted?
Nope.
That's one of the two class traits I have not even bought, whether DP or store. It's so minimal of use that, although I do use it, I didn't see the worth in spending a slot for it.
Okay.
Well, that takes us pretty perfectly onto the next section about the traits. Obviously, you feel enhanced flight is basically not worth anything. Are there any other traits that are worthless as far as you're concerned that no one should waste their time with?
Fungal cursing. I think that's a waste of time. It.
What does that one do?
It decreases your power cost for curse skills by 15%. That's a waste.
Yeah.
And same with the enhanced sticky feet. I thought that was minus 1,238 fire defense.
Yeah.
It's good when you get it, because I think it's like a rank 2 skill or something or something like that. It's good for if you don't have anything else, but if you've got other ones that you need slotting, that one definitely goes up.
Well, yeah, you have the sticky feet, which reduces their run speed by 10%, but then the enhanced sticky feet, which I don't understand what that is. In addition to the movement penalty, they have a curse. It reduces their fire defense. So it's not worth a slot to me.
Mm-mm. I agree with that.
I'm gonna swap out the Blessings of Darkness from time to time and see what happens. Try it out. Usually I'm the one that needs the help, though.
Yeah.
I understand that. Okay. Speaking of starting out, when you're starting out as a new defiler, what are the holes that are most apparent in the class? Mostly the stuff that gets filled in as you rank up later, but that is a major deficit for an early defiler.
No maps. I don't know. I don't know that, you know, the defiler is pretty self-sufficient.
Right from the get-go?
If you group, I didn't get into groups at all until I had my maps, because I didn't want to be a burden. And, I didn't find it, but then you know what? I bought a lot of my skills right off the bat, I'll have to admit. So, I don't know. I'm not a good one to tell you, I guess.
Yeah, fair enough.
I started playing a little bit, you know, little ways before you could buy skills. So I kind of remember, I was grouping a lot, and we went down into the caves
Delving.
There.
The Delving,
yeah. And so, you know, I mean, you're basically a healer, I think. But, you know, your damage, you know, for soloing was not that bad. So, you know, I think overall you're viable. You're squishy, but you're viable.
You could heal yourself enough to run to a keep if somebody attacked you. That's the way I was.
Yep. Fnatic, anything to add?
Yeah, I'd say I've started a couple different defilers across the server, so I've kind of have the feeling of starting over as a new defiler is still pretty fresh sometimes. I would agree with Patati that when you start out, you're pretty well rounded as a defiler. You've got two heals. You've got your res, and you've got a couple of combat skills and a few class traits that work pretty well. So, you know, just like any new creep out there, you know, you're definitely squishy. Just, you know, especially if you have creeps that know what they're doing. But I didn't really feel useful as a defiler until I got to rank 6, and when I got the efflorescence, which is the big hot. So, you know, you definitely come in handy. You kind of fill in the, especially now that our defiler heals stack. You know, when they made that change, that was like praise turbine for that one, because that just increased our effectiveness in a group or a raid so much more. But even before then, you know, we did our share of healing in a group, and I think we were effective enough to support the war leaders in with the big group heals.
Oh yeah, I gotta agree with that. Nothing works as well for healing, as far as I'm concerned, as having a war leader and a defiler. The two pair together just so incredibly well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
And I remember getting the third heal and this that, you know, you could. Basically, at that point, when you have the three heals, when do you get it? It's like three or four when you get the fungal spores? Or, I don't remember, but
Rank 5.
It's 5? Okay.
But yeah, 5 is fungal spores.
Oh, rank 3 so must be the fell restoration, right?
Yes.
So that when you have the three heals, you can basically heal constantly, and you're not left wondering, okay, what do I do now in between while my heals are cooling down?
Right.
Okay. What are the weaknesses of the class that are going to be there pretty much all the time?
Inductions, the length of the inductions.
You know, it's funny you would say, you know, I remember playing a minstrel, you know, before they made the changes, and I hated playing a minstrel so much because you could get interrupted, basically, and that's really what I hate. But the nice thing about two of our heal, the two of the three single target heals, they really, you know, they really don't have much of an induction.
Only
the third one has an induction.
Right, but the fell restoration has a long induction to me, and the blight. I wish they would shorten that. Plus, that's my biggest complaint. Why do we have to have a target to throw down blight?
Oh, you said it.
Freaks don't have to have a target to throw down sticky tar. BAs don't have to have a target to put down a fire trap. Like,
what determines where it goes? What determines where the
blight goes?
Tar and the sticky trap goes?
Just wherever they aim it at.
Well, actually, it lands right in front of them at their feet. So you'd have to walk right up to the guys to throw the blight down. Having the target means you can throw it at a range. So that is a slight advantage.
I guess that's true. Especially if you can, I target a pet and fear it, and then take the blight right out with them.
Nice.
That's great.
Okay.
I'd have to agree with Hatani. The inductions are the defiler's biggest weakness, and that's why I suck so bad at 1v1s. It's just going up against a class that can deal out the DPS in you know, multiple times in a second is almost impossible. I think in 1v1s, Defiler has the best advantage, I think, against the Hunter, because we're essentially going up against their range, and don't often have the same type of delays or interrupts that a champ or a Berg can throw on us at melee range.
Oh, yeah, Bergs are crazy out here.
Yep.
Well, I really don't consider. I mean, I guess that is a drawback, but I don't really miss that. You know, having the
induction,
inductions on our attacks and such. I'm very glad that we can heal on the run. You know, like a captain.
Yes.
Can heal while moving. So that's definitely I consider that the blessing.
The rune keeper. That's the nice thing I liked about the Runekeeper from the very beginning.
Yep. What about power regeneration? I often see a lot of defilers and hear them talking about running out of power very quickly. Do you find that's a major issue?
That's what the Plague of Flies is for. But that's why I was asking the boys if they have the enhanced Plague of Flies slotted, because that's supposed to help your power regen.
I'm always planning ahead for power, so I carry pots, and when I'm down, you know, like 700, 800, you know, I'll take a pot right then and there. I plan ahead, and
I
run out of power, but only after like 10 minutes of fighting, so.
Yeah, I agree. I haven't had that happen too often. Unless we get into a long, long fight, then, you know, it's tough.
Well, I think that also being able to go to the store and buy the rank 11 power regeneration racial trait also helps out just a ton with that whole power management issue.
What is that one?
That's the Tireless Warrior one. It's the plus 300.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. The next thing up is, are there any recommended store purchases and a recommended starting playstyle for a new person? I think you've already said that Enhanced Blight is a must-have, so is there anything else that you would recommend?
Well, Blight itself. You've got Blight by itself, and then you've got the Enhanced Blight as a trait. So it's kind of those are the two purchases right there that make up how effective Blight is. And then for me, like I've already kind of described, I'd say personally, the Blessing of Darkness was a good purchase for me.
The first thing, I held off buying things for a while because I was already, you know, probably rank 6 at least when the skills became available at the store. The first thing I bought was the Blight and the Enhanced Blight, just because, you know, people were talking about it. People just expect you to have it, and I didn't have it. So I was just like, okay, I need to buy these. And then I started looking at the great passive things, like the one with the power regen, you know, and I bought probably 2 or 3 of those, too. Those are what I would say. I did not do Blessing of Darkness. I think it's just not a right. I think it's a great skill, but it's just kind of not, doesn't suit my play style. I like to move around a lot, so, and, you know, run around like a chicken with my head cut off. So the Blessing of Darkness just wouldn't work for me.
Yep, fair enough. And I think all of you said that starting off, you guys started out by going into groups. Is that what you would say a new Defiler is best suited for, is get into a group and heal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To learn how to play, yes.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, then let's go into some of the specifics for the various play styles. We'll start off with raiding. What's the fundamental skill set that you use during raiding, and what are the additional utility things that you would use while you're raiding, stuff that you would throw out beyond heals and such? I'll start with you, Baccarat.
Sort of balancing healing between, you know, getting out of combat to res. I mean, really, you know, if there are people who need heals, you need to be tossing heals. So, you know, it's cheaper and faster to save the people that are up than it is to res them. But sometimes, you know, you've got someone who's down, maybe a war leader that you need to get up. And you just sort of the knowing, you know, what to go for, you know, that those are probably the hardest calls, and not keeping an eye on everything, so as, you know, don't get distracted when, you know, chasing after someone who's, you know, on you to throw down the three target fear thing is generally a mistake. I mean, sometimes it works out well, but it's just sort of knowing, you know, what to do and figuring it out as you go along. But I think I probably err on the side of doing that a little too much, and it usually gets me killed.
All right. Okay. Fnatic, what would you say about raiding?
For me, I think in terms of kind of buffing up the group that I happen to be in, I think slick flesh is really important to get up to increase the melee range and tactical defense, critical defense. You know, I think it's like upwards of 1500 increasing the defense is a big one. And if I don't have that on my group, you know, I can kind of chastise myself for not remembering to throw that on everyone. So you know, if everyone's health, if the morale is up there, then I, you know, I'm kind of looking at the rest of the grade to see what I'm if I can help out any of those groups as well. So it kind of, I start off with my mentality of looking after my group first, and then I try and focus on the rest of the raid to see where the heals need to go, and if a res can be thrown, I'll throw that as well.
Okay then, and Hot Toddy.
I agree with all of that. Our main function is to heal the group. The debuffs are really good if everybody is healed up. The Curse of the Rotten Flesh, it does the plus 5% incoming damage on the mob. So that, I definitely always try and put that up before on a raid boss. I love to hit the minis with Curse of the Melancholy Heart, which lowers their outgoing healing. And the Curse of Daily Sorrows, which is minus 325 fate, will, might, and armor value. That's probably about it.
Right.
I did learn one thing, not to heal outside my group, because I've done that before. Cross-healed people in my group is fine, but if you heal somebody outside of your group, that will bring aggro to you.
Well, yeah, well, I think that cross-healing outside of the group is a situational call where you have to decide, is it going to seriously impair me at this particular point? Can I mm-hmm. get away with it? Because it's always nice to be able to throw heals at people that are outside your group. It's just that there is a fundamental risk there of they might just hang me out to dry while they run away.
I've had raid leaders get mad at me because I brought aggro in our group by healing somebody else.
Yeah, that also sometimes happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't usually consider that. I mean, if I definitely heal my group and my raid first, but you know, if I can heal someone, you know, I guess there are situations where it does happen, you know, where you've got NPCs, obviously, you know, we're talking about aggro as just NPCs. So if you don't have a lot of NPCs around, if you keep the people, even if they're not in your group, keeping the people around you up, you know, makes the creep side stronger. And if, you know, when it's a very close fight, you know, you need all the help you can get. So, you know, it's better to have everyone alive.
Yeah. I would say that probably the one situation where the raid leader does get upset because you healed somebody outside the group is if you're, say, in front of a keep like Tirith Ra, and, you know, some ward or reaver has gone up to the doorway and pulled a bunch of the door guards, and they're coming back, and they're going to get away, all right. They're going to be at low health, but they will survive. If you throw the heal, you give your entire group all these door guards. But if you let him go, then they will reset, and you can press more normally at a better pace that's going to work for your group and not risk the potential of a wipe. That's the one place where I won't throw the heal out to somebody who would otherwise need it. I'll wait for the NPCs to reset, then I'll give them the heal.
Mm-hmm.
There's two other, I'd say the other two things to watch out for in a raid is especially in terms of a keep raid, is your fear and your flies. Because the flies, just like any pet, even though they're kind of a weird pet, but pet nonetheless, you know, they can pull mobs if they get distracted off their target or pulled. And then the fear, if you throw fear and they wander off near someone who's not even involved in the fight, that fear can pull them in as well. So
those are
big things to kind of keep in mind when you're raiding for a keep.
Okay, then. All right. In the small group setting versus the raiding, what are the main differences there? And what stuff do you have to adapt to that's a big difference from being inside of a raid itself? We'll start with Baccarat again.
I'm not sure it's any different. I can't think of anything.
Okay, so you don't end up having to kite any more just because you don't have any cross-healing, and you don't notice that you get extra time to throw out any debuffs or anything. Instead, it's mostly the same.
Yeah, I think so.
Interesting. Okay, what about you, Fnatic?
In a small group, especially with if we have a war leader in the group, I definitely feel I have a little more flexibility in terms of throwing out more DPS than I might in a normal raid. Just because if you throw out a blight and then you can throw out explosive gourd, you know, those are both AOE DPS, and it helps the group in terms of our outbound damage. I might not do that as much in a raid because I'm probably focusing more on the healing. But even if I don't have a war leader in the group, I still usually have kind of my focus will shift back and forth between damage and healing a lot, I think, in a smaller group.
All right. What about you, Hot Toddy?
I agree with all of the above. One thing I did learn, too, being in a small group, if you throw down Blight and there's other people around you and they drag a mob through your Blight, it brings that mob back to your small group. So
yes.
I've learned to be careful there. It's you have to be real careful where you throw it down. But other than that, it's pretty much that I would consider that one of the things to adapt to. But that's the only difference, I think.
Okay. All right, and then on to soloing. I think only Baccarat says he solos, so we'll save him from what... Hot Toddy, do you have anything to say about soloing with a Defiler? And not necessarily against freeps, but also just against NPCs.
You know, NPCs, I go to the Delving... I prefer to go to the Delving by myself. And I just blight kite the mobs through there first, you know, when I work to get stones. But 1v1s, I'm not good. I am not good at melee, so it's hard for me to do 1v1s. I probably could tell you a handful of the ones, and I've usually won them. I think I've lost one, and that was to, like, Luke or Foy. But I probably wouldn't even try a 1v1 with somebody that I didn't think would be like my play style or my level. I don't do much of it.
Yeah. For those ones that you did win, did you win those basically by just staying alive and getting them with damage reflect and whatever you could throw at them?
Or? Yes. Totally legit. In fact, the last 1v1 I ever had was with Carter, and she posted on the forums, thank you, that I was one of the few, the only one she had that day that didn't run to the NPCs or call her out, but I think I was too scared to type. I was really surprised that I did win that one. She's a captain. She didn't use Last Stand, which she could have, and that would have been the end of me.
Okay. All right. Fnatic, how have you found soloing with Dan?
I think as a solo class, especially above rank 6, is pretty effective in terms of NPCs. There's no problem going to the delving alone. I've tried to take on a couple of bosses in the delving as a defiler, and I can't make headway against how much morale they have in terms of DPS. So I don't usually go after the big bosses, but I would agree with Hatari that it's as a defiler, as a solo class, defiler's pretty well survivable. You know, they've got definitely with all the heals we have, very survivable. If I need to, I will try and use NPCs against anyone pulling a free for somebody if it's not a full-on V1 or 1v1. But like I said before, I am not good at 1v1s at all, and I just have a hard time balancing my power against my damage output, especially if I'm getting hit constantly by a champ or a Berg or something. So, but overall, I feel pretty safe going across the map as a defiler in terms of my survivability.
I do too. I feel safe out there. Just not against creeps. So,
yeah,
I mean, I'm safe enough to get into a keep, but 'cause they just seem to be so overpowered right now. I was in Grotham and Radar came. I was turning a quest in Grotham to the little goblin back in the corner block, and I had my back to him. He came up, stunned me, hit me, and killed me before I even came out of the stun.
He's Radar. He's not normal.
I didn't even know he was there. I tracked before I came in, but
Radar's fun.
Radar is, you don't measure other people by Radar. Radar is measured by Radar.
And he doesn't even have the best gear. He doesn't have, the highest gear they have. He just
He doesn't need their highest gear, because in all honesty, Radar is the best runekeeper on the server. Yeah. And it really doesn't matter what he's carrying. He can outfight pretty much any other runekeeper you're ever going to run into, on Landerval at least. And because of that, he will kill basically anyone he runs into.
Skill.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. The other big part of it is just that mitigations have had so many issues over the last couple updates. I remember running into him in Grotham with my Reaver and trying to do something, and I couldn't even do like 2,000 damage to him or finish the charge before I was dead.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Baccarat, what do you got to say about soloing with a defiler?
I think the word others used, survivable, it's very survivable, but sometimes I don't want to survive, and sometimes I could run across the whole, I remember being in Grotham once, and, I got away, I got away, I ran all over the place, and that must have been like 5 minutes, I should have just, let myself be killed, and start over. What is the goal of all this? I don't know. I should probably fight back a little more often, because not all freeps are created equal. Baylock keeps attacking me. So what happened? It was like, I don't know, it was in Grotham today, and he was doing a quest there, and he came after me, and I went for his, you know, Alf Earthenway and killed Alf Earthenway. Just, you know, I've never done that quest I don't play Freeps in the Moors anyway, but so I've never done that quest. But I just killed Alf Earthenway, went to the NPCs and mapped out. I probably could have taken him out there, even because he's not a very good guard. I think, right, Baylock?
I don't know. I'm going to try that.
I don't really know. I haven't had a chance to fight against him.
But, I should have at least tried. But, you know, I was just like, okay, you know, I sabotaged his quest. I'm leaving now. Go on about my, you know, business and come back later to turn into Bach, who wasn't there because he had killed Bach. Yeah, that's sort of like, you know, I get there, oh man, they killed Bach again. That's like, you know, that's one of my pet peeves. But anyway, soloing, yeah, it's more about surviving, you know, being out there, the thrill, anyone could attack me anytime, can I get away? You know, yeah, and sometimes I know I can probably get away, but, you know, I'd rather sometimes just be killed and go back to, you know, hide somewhere else in some other part of the moors where they're not going to find me.
Right.
I don't know. It's a judgment call each time. If I'm right there by TR or TA and we hold it, oh, I'll suicide on the NPCs. I mean, actually, I've never tested this, so, I mean, and I've asked, and I assume people were telling me, like, the truth. Like, if I, you know, they hit me twice and then I run away and, you know, get killed by... in Hoar Hollow by, you know, 17 farmers and 15 gardeners and the mayor, they only get a teeny, teeny bit of infamy, right?
It depends if they were still in range. And I think there's a timeout on how long it has to have been since they killed you. Because I've noticed that sometimes I've hit somebody and they die.
My point is my question is they only get a tiny bit, right? Because the NPCs did, you know, 7/8 of the damage. Right?
Yes, that is true.
Okay, so yeah, I'm more, you know, they're going to get a little bit, but I want to, you know, give them as little as possible. I don't stand a chance of winning here, so, you know, just suicide and start over.
Okay. From any of you, are there any things for soloing specifically that you use as just, like, one of your standard tricks for how you actually fight? Do you tend to throw down the blight and just try to kite them through it, or are there any other abilities that you would use when trying to do a 1v1, but not necessarily would actually get off in raiding or small group or anything like that?
That's where the induction issue comes up. It's hard to get blight down.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Yeah. Unless you fear them, and then they usually hit a pot real fast, so that doesn't work.
It's amazing how fast 2.5 seconds just really can last when you're trying to see the light, and it's just how many times you get hit, up, knock back again. It's just it's amazing how long it really can last.
Yeah.
Oh, I hear you. 2.5 seconds is the induction on the War Leader AoE heal. It takes forever.
Does that get interrupted?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's you know that something's really wrong with, you know, how well you are resistant to inductions, knockbacks, and stuff when your 2.5-second induction takes four times as long as the 3-second induction, because the 3-second induction is immune to knockbacks.
Now, can you hit a pot or a brand, and will that stop the interruption of the induction?
No, you cannot. Brands do not prevent induction knockbacks.
Okay.
No.
All right.
What's the induction on efflorescence? It's not that long, is it?
Efflorescence is 2 seconds.
2 seconds, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Well, we've come almost to the end of the scheduled outline, so... what are your concluding thoughts on the class? We'll start with Baccarat.
it's lots of fun. You know, I like being the healer. I like having, you know, heals that, you know, you can do on the run that don't have a lot of induction or no induction at all, really. I mean, I think the two of them have no induction, and then efflorescence, it just doesn't seem that long anyway, but I don't know. It's fun. It's fun in a group.
Fanatic, what are your concluding thoughts on the class?
It's a great class. I love it. It's the class that I play almost exclusively now. I spend most of my time on Creepside nowadays, and I spend my time on Defiler Dan. I love being able to frustrate the freeps with the last second save. When it looks like a character's going down, whether it's a big heal at the last second or Blessing of Darkness. I consider it my job, my pride to frustrate them and save that, or prevent that kill. And if I do, I know I'm doing my job well when, they go after me at all costs, so it's when I get so much focus fire, then there's no possible way that I can survive. I know I'm doing my job out there. So I love whether they're in group or whatever, I love helping the creeps and supporting them. So it's a great class.
All right. Okay, and Hot Toddy.
I love this class. It is a lot of fun. I wish that we would have more protection from our fellow creeps, but I know that's not going to happen. I do know that, if a warg would pounce somebody who is beating on me while I'm trying to heal the group, that would be a big help. That's my goal, to get more wargs to help us out. But all in all, it's a great class. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
All right. Well, I'll be sure to pass your messages on to the wargs when I get around to their round table.
Oh,
we'll see what Artie has to say. So, Baccarat, anyone you want to do a shout-out to?
Just to my tribe on Freepside, the Knights of the White Lady. They've been great here. I was actually a Gladden player, so I've only been on this server for more than a year. And I came here to join the Knights, and I would like to get more of them out in the moors. Would be nice, and I think once they we had a few of them out before the last expansion came out, and I think we'll get them back out again soon. But the moors is fun, so come out and join us.
All right, the Defiler Dan.
I gotta say thanks to my tribe Cohesion. Even though there's just a few of us left that are still hanging around the moors at this point, Happy Blood and Grope. Happy Blood's our tribe leader at the moment, and he's a BA, and Grope is a war leader, and we're all I think Happy Blood just got rank 9 today, and Grope is at least rank 9. So when I run with them, if we're not completely overpowered by the freeps, we're a pretty effective team. Happy takes care of our DPS, and Grope and I take care of Happy, and sometimes occasionally the other of us. So big shout out to them, and big shout out to both Freep and Creep on Vilya and Riggermark. Having spent so much time on those two servers, just making the play out there as fun as it is for me, hello to them, and thanks a lot.
All right. And I just got to say, Grope is a fantastic war leader name. It's just...
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I almost wish I thought of it, but I still would have been Ugmog, so...
And he's got a warg that he calls, that his name is Gripe. So, he keeps the theme going between the classes.
Oh, very nice. All right, Hot Toddy.
Oh, I'll give a shout out to my tribe, Pouncing Pony. I love those guys. They're a great support group. Pouncival is awesome. He's so patient with everybody. and Shazlok. Shazlok has run some really great raids out in the moors, has really helped with the creep morale as we've had to deal with the Freep Zerg. I'm happy with being out here. I've really stopped playing my Freep. I don't know if it's I like the underdog or what, but I love it out here. I kind of make it my goal to heal all these guys. Pain of Bother said something in OOC, which when I hit rank 9, he says, you're hard-pressed to find a better community healer than Hot Toddy. And I'm like, oh, I thought that was a nice comment.
Oh, yeah.
But, I like it here. I'm here to stay.
Okay, then. Okay, well, I think that is the conclusion of our roundtable. So thank you all for coming out. It was great to have you guys here, and you definitely helped give some insight into the class for myself and everyone who's going to be listening to this.
You've been listening to A Casual Stroll to Mordor. For more information, go to www.casualstrolltomordor.com or visit us on mymiddleearth.com. That's mymiddle-earth.com.